The following program, Voice of Victory, is sponsored by Mount Olivet Baptist Church.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone.
And a good morning to you. This is the Voice of Victory Broadcast, and I'm Brother Walker, pastor, Mount Olivet Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. So glad you could tune in this good day. You know, we are a threat to the devil and his forces if we become prayer warriors, and preachers and teachers of Jesus Christ. Prayer warriors, that's where we get the power. That's God's plan. That's God's pattern. It's where we get the power. I'm reminded constantly that the disciples heard Jesus teach. They heard him preach. They heard him command the weather. He controlled the weather. They heard him renounce the devil and literally speak him out of people. They heard all of that. But when they heard him pray, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I think they wanted to teach with the same kind of power, preach with the same kind of power, even see some miracles with the same kind of power. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I thought that was interesting. We find in Acts chapter 3, they go up to the hour of prayer. I was reading in the book of Joel, a prophet along the time of the contemporary of Isaiah. And he talks about when judgment of God comes, that you need to call a fast, a solemn assembly, and really, literally, and have a prayer meeting. Didn't say have a preaching meeting, had a prayer meeting. Call a fast. A solemn assembly, have a prayer meeting, and seek God. And it says in Joel, and God will be heard of you, and he'll return the prosperity. He'll return the blessings. Oh, it's a shame, friend. It's a shame that we pray so little. And then I think our works are not as fruitful. I know they're not. I mean, we forget often the book of Acts, they were filled with actions. They were going everywhere, but boy, they took time to have prayer meetings, personal and private. Because persecution's coming if we fulfill God's plan for our lives. And that's the only way to live. There's no other life. And let me say this. Nothing good can happen of a spiritual nature, of an eternal nature, without somebody preaching truth, praying down the power of God, and then seeing the converts come and seeing the changed lives. And it's a threat to the devil. And if you're not receiving any kind of persecution ever, someone says something about you, somebody misrepresents you, somebody lies about you, somebody gives you a hard time, somebody makes it difficult for you, you may be not doing anything that you're supposed to be doing. Peter and John, the hour of prayer, they go up and a miracle happens. And I love it. A man lame from his birth. Can you imagine his parents? And now he's a beggar. He's a beggar. He's counting on the goodness of others. He's counting on someone with a generous nature. That's what he's counting on. And Peter says, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. And he gets healed. Oh, man, and it breaks out. And John and Peter pretty much say, look, it's not by our own power that this happened. They killed the Prince of Life. And he takes a chance in Acts chapter 3. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? It was not by our power. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye, and boy, he is indicting them, who ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life." But you talk about a conviction in front of all these people. And the Bible says, and then I'm going to fast forward to Acts chapter 4, verse 1. But they absolutely, what a sermon. You killed the Prince of Life. God raised him from the dead. You're witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. It's in him. And as they, verse 1 of chapter 4 of Acts, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them, grieved. Peter's response is tremendous. Do you know we do not have to battle our enemies on their terms? We don't. We do not have to let the enemy set the agenda. We just don't. Peter set the agenda, which was what? On truth. On what they did and who did it. They basically defended who Jesus was to them. And friend, that's called contending for the faith. It is defending what Jesus means to you. And what does he mean to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your all in all? Can you live without him? You know, I thought of a thought the other day that encouraged me. There are people in our lives that we would deem irreplaceable. Irreplaceable. Now, I agree there's people in our lives that cannot be replaced as far as somebody exactly like them. I mean, that's not going to happen, because there is nobody exactly like them. There are events in our lives that happen that we sometimes try to recreate so we can live again that wonderful experience. But the truth is, you cannot replace any experience exactly like it was. I know when we have a church service here at Mount Olivet Baptist Church that I feel like and sense the real presence of God and a moving of God, I always thank God for it. I always feel the fullness of that experience, and I say, "God, do it again." And though we may have a similar and even better experience of God, it'll never be exactly like that, because it will not be the same components that were there. So when we think of someone that is irreplaceable, I understand that, no, that person cannot be replaced exactly like them. But everybody is expendable. That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Everybody's replaceable. No, that child maybe you lost to death, or that child you lost to drugs, that they're living, but as far as you're concerned, they're not. You cannot have anything to do with them. They're in the madness. They've made it impossible. And it's not your fault. And you can't replace them with another child, because it just wouldn't be the same. So I'm not saying that, but I am saying that they are and can be replaced. Well, preacher, how? God. You see, the only person in our world, I'm talking about Christian people, that just cannot be replaced is Almighty God. Because everybody else can. Don't misunderstand me. I know someone exactly like the loved one you lost cannot be replaced, but God can fill the void. And God can bring the comfort. And God can give life again where there was death. And God can give hope where you lost hope. And God can heal a broken heart. And God can relieve a heartache. And nobody else can do that. You see, we can't replace God. And everybody else can be replaced. And we still be happy. And still know joy. And still have success. And still celebrate victory. Oh, friend, and still say hallelujah. What a Savior. Why? Because everybody can be replaced, really. And every event can be replaced. And every object can be replaced. But there is no replacing the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no... If we have to go without somebody, may he be the last one about whom we go without. Without whom we go. Should I say it that way? You see, Peter and John would see contemporaries killed. Peter would be murdered. John would be exiled. But guess what? God is the replacement. Now, God may send somebody to do the job they were doing, and he does. He does because everybody can be replaced. But when it's God doing that, and God doing the replacing, if that's a correct word, friend, that's victory. I guess I'm trying to say, Peter and John, standing before these men, they drew the battle lines around who Jesus Christ was to them. That was it. And that's why they couldn't be defeated. That's why there's nothing they could do that could destroy them. Because they can't take Jesus from us. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He said it wasn't by us. It wasn't by you. It wasn't by anybody but him. Neither is there salvation in any other. Salvation is not in your wife or in your husband or in your children. And when we live like a child or a parent or a friend or a loved one is literally irreplaceable in our lives and we couldn't go on without them, we feel that way. Oh, we have the emptiness there. We don't want to go on without them. Did you hear me? We do not want to go on without them. We've had people leave our church that's devastated this preacher. And I'm thinking they're irreplaceable, and they are. What they brought to the table, who they were, is irreplaceable. But life goes on. And the truth is, God can make up what others caused you to lose. God can make up that person that dies in your world that you thought, I've never even thought about living without them. But you're living without them. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, friend, on this Friday in April, don't you think it's time we all stand firmly on the solid rock called Jesus Christ and thanking him for every person in our life that enhances it? And no, they cannot be replaced as far as they're concerned. But the hope they give, the strength they gave, the victory they gave, and the help they brought can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one truly that can never be replaced. I thank you for tuning in again. And until next time, Brother Walker reminding you, you live on the victory side. Hello again, Pastor Walker here. Sunday school at 10 o'clock. I think you ought to be in Sunday school. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock preaching. And then Sunday night, our great evening service at 6:30. If you're not here, you ought to be somewhere. Thanks for tuning in again. And so long from the Voice of Victory broadcast.
Thanks again for listening to the Voice of Victory broadcast from Mount Olivet Baptist Church in Lexington. Call Brother Walker today and let him know you want to continue to hear the broadcast. 859-231-0442. That's 859 area code 231-0442, 231-0442.
93.3 FM.